Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, and examines how Moses and Jethro celebrated God's greatness in their lives together. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
So what would a pastor's number one job be as a pastor? Some of you are getting this. Okay. It's prayer. It's his number one job. If he fails there, he's failing in his number one responsibility. There's one mediator between God and man. It's the man Jesus Christ. The most important thing a pastor can do is pray. What he should be consumed with is prayer. Praying for what? Praying for God to move. Praying for the congregation. Praying for needs that he sees. Praying for God to change his own heart. Prayer, 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 prayer. Prayer is first and foremost. When you meet somebody that you think is a spiritual leader, listen to them talk about how important prayer is to them. If it's important to them, it will come out in conversation. You can ask them questions about how they pray. They'll be able to tell you because prayer will consume them. It won't be a one-time thing. It'll be a life thing. It'll be as simple as breathing because they'll realize that they are wholly dependent upon the Lord to do what the Lord has called them to do. And this is not just true vocationally in ministry. It's true of anybody. It's true in family. It's true as a business owner. It's true as a coach. It's true as a teacher. If you're a Christian and you're leading people, which if you're a Christian, you are leading people because you're an influencer. Whatever you're doing, your first and foremost responsibility is to pray. Pray. You're standing before God as a representative for all the people. So what's Moses doing? Instead of standing there and dealing with everybody, what's he doing? Lord, I'm going to bring these before you. I'm offering this before you. I'm going to name these people. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for our congregation. I'm going to do all that. Number one is prayer. Two is this. It's teach. You're a teacher. If you're a Christian, you're a teacher. Teaching means you're going to take what God has revealed to you. You're going to study his word. You're going to teach it or herald it in such a way that you're building up people. If prayer is a priestly duty of standing before God on behalf of men, then the prophetic duty is standing before men on behalf of God. It's once you've spent time in the presence of the Lord and once you've studied his word and once you know it, then you teach people according to what that looks like. In the home, it would look like this. In the home, it would look like praying for your family in such a way that you know the truths of God's word and what God expects, and then you teach it. And by teaching in the home, I mean you don't pull up a pulpit in your family room and say, kids, sit down, dad has a word. It means it's ongoing instruction that you're going to begin showing them how you're practicing this and how you're living this and where you failed at this and where you need to get better at this, but what God requires and what he expects. That's number two. Super important. It's as important as number one, but it follows number one. Now, if you wonder why the church in the West is generally very anemic and the Spirit of God is not moving, it's because in many churches, these first two things aren't happening very much. I've been in ministry for 30 plus years. I've had a chance to interview many friends of mine who are pastors and talk to them. And I can tell you, there's very, very few percentage-wise where prayer consumes them. And there's very few percentage-wise that when God shows them something, would have the courage to stand up and teach it the way God's taught them. Both of those things are primary, especially as a pastor. If you ever get chafed with Brave Church, like I'm not going there anymore, fine, that's great. God can move you on. But make sure when you pick a church where the pastor is a man of prayer and pick a church where he's not afraid to teach you the whole counsel of God. One and two. Amen? And then third, because notice this, he says, teach them the statutes and the laws. Make known to them the ways in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Tell them what God requires of them. Here's what God is saying to you. Here's how you're supposed to walk. Here's the work you got to do. Here's what it looks like. And then third, if you're a prayer and you're a teacher, then number three is you're a delegator. You delegate. It means you empower. It means you build others and empower others to do the work of ministry. It's Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. It's equipping God's saints for the work of ministry. It means you don't do all the work. People don't come to watch you do the work. You're teaching people how to do the work and then they're doing the work. Because notice what he says. After you teach them the statutes, furthermore, you shall select out of all the people, able men who fear God, men of truth, and those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place them over them as leaders of thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. He says this, once you've prayed and once you've sought the Lord and once you've studied the word and once you've taught the word, then what do you go looking for? Go looking for men. Go looking for men who can actually do the work. I'm gonna pause here. Let me just be really ultra clear on this because our culture doesn't seem to be clear on this, and I'm gonna be crystal clear on this. When it comes to the church, church is not a place for ladies to come and drag the men behind them. Church is a place where men are leading their families, their girlfriends, so that they can hear the word of God because they're living it all week long. Church is a place where God goes looking for men to lead. If you hear about needs in the church, it's because men have not stepped up and led. If you hear that there's a need in the church and you wonder, when are the women gonna do something? You don't understand what God's calling you to do. There should never be needs in the church because there's always able men that are able to step up every single time and fill every single one of those needs. Okay? And now back to the message. So, we're looking for people that pray. We're looking for people that study and know God's word and teach it. And then you're looking for able men to go do it, right? You wanna have a church that flourishes? Look for a place where people are praying. Look for a place where people are studying the word and teaching it. And look for a place where you're empowering other people to do it. It works in your family, parents. I mean, your job as a parent is to pray your socks off for your kids. Your job as a parent is to model the word and teach the word. And then your job as a parent, you got to turn your kids loose. And guess what? They're not going to get it right the first time or the second time or the third time. The reason that you know that is because you still don't get it right either. But empower them and let them go. And it's okay for your kid to fail. It's okay for them to need to get picked up sometimes. It's okay for them to, that's how they're going to learn. If their faith is only your faith, it's never going to be their faith. Let them go, empower them, right? Because sometimes the reason we don't empower people is because we think of ourselves too highly. Well, yeah, but if I'm not doing this, then who's gonna do it? I don't know if they're as good as me. Let them go. I mean, there's a lot of people 100 years ago that are a lot better at ministry than we are. They ain't here. This is what God has. He's got us. And when you're gone, you're not gonna be here. We need to empower the next generation to go reach the nations. If you wanna know the secret formula, so to speak, for how to grow a ministry. You want to know a secret formula for how to grow your business. You want to know a secret formula for how to see your family flourish. And when I say secret formula, I'm saying God's design for how these things work as a Christian. It's these three. Become a prayer, become a teacher, and you can't teach it if you don't live it, and then delegate it to other people. D.L. Moody once said, it is better to set 100 men to work than do the work of 100 men. Don't you love that? Now, for some of you, you're listening to this, you're like, yeah, that's good. That's Old Testament. I don't know if that applies to me as a New Testament believer. So let's flip our Bibles to Acts chapter 6 so I can show you that this has always been God's principle. This is what God wants to do. And let me show you why this is so important for you to understand this. In Acts chapter 6, the church is growing and blowing up like crazy. Thousands upon thousands of people are coming to know the Lord. I mean, you would think at this time, man, nothing could go wrong in the church. Unfortunately, the church then and the church now is still made up of sinners, and there's going to be problems in every single church. So it says in Acts chapter 6, now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews, who are the Greek Jews, against the native Hebrews, because their widows, the Greek widows, were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. You see the problem? Greek widows aren't getting enough food. The Hebrew widows are eating it all. We got a problem in the church. What are they doing? Coming to the pastor, you guys got to fix it. They're coming to the apostles. You better fix this problem. So how are they going to do this? Well, here's what they do. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. What does it mean? That's an important work. It's a really good work. But that's kind of below our pay grade. We got to keep praying and seeking the face of God and teaching the word. It's important that this gets taken care of, and we're going to see that it gets taken care of. But for us, we're not going to stop praying, and we're not going to stop teaching the word of God. Because if we stop praying and we stop teaching the work of God, then guess what? The Spirit of God is not going to be able to come through and do what he needs to do. So we see the needs. It's critical. It's important. So here's what they say to do. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men, there's that word men again, of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task. What's he say? Where are the men who can do this? There's got to be some men somewhere that can take care of this. Pick seven men. You congregation know who they are. Pick seven. So they find seven men filled with the Spirit. That means they have godly character. They're walking in the ways of God. They're doing the things of God. And that's what's going on. So they pick these seven men to do that. Now notice what they say in verse 4. In Acts 6:4, it says, but we must devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What are they saying? Our number one responsibilities are first prayer and second teaching the word.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, examining how Moses and Jethro celebrated God's greatness in their lives together. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
In Acts 6:4, it says, but we must devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. What are they saying? Our number one responsibilities are first prayer and second teaching the Word. Third, we'll delegate people to get the task done, but that's not nearly as important as praying and teaching the Word. It's true of all people. If you're leading a small group, the most important thing you can do is be praying and seeking the face of God and praying for the people in your group. Second most important thing you can do, live out the statutes of God and teach people how to do that. Because guess what? There's always going to be problems that distract us from doing those first two things. And there are some churches in our country and all around the world that spend their time taking care of problems all the time, and they don't pray, and they don't live the word, and they don't teach the word, and the church is dead while they're doing all sorts of great activity. Not here. Not in my lifetime. We're going to pray and seek the face of God. We are going to not only pray and seek the face of God, we're going to live out the word and we're going to teach the word. And then we're going to delegate men to take care of these things. But even the men that they're delegating to, what are those men doing? They're praying and seeking the face of God and they're teaching the word. That's why you find Spirit-filled leaders, not just, quote, gifted people. So verse 5 says the statement was good. So they picked seven men filled of faith. Verse 6, and they brought before the apostles, they brought them before the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them. And notice what happened in verse 7. Because they did this, because they followed the same pattern, we're devoting ourselves to prayer, number one, the ministry of the word, number two, and delegating men, number three. Notice what happens. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and even a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. What was happening? Revival's going on. Why? Because they had a great program? Because they did all this cool stuff? No, because they spent their time focused on prayer. They focused on living and teaching the word of God. And guess what they did third? They empowered men to go do this. Now, ladies, if you're sitting there saying, well, I'm gifted and I'm good. Of course you are. My God made you and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But here's what we found. When men lead the way God wants them to lead, it opens up the doors for everybody to do everything that God's ever called you to do. There's no limit on what you can do, right? So that's what this is all about. So then how do we do it? We pray. The reason First Tuesday is the most important meeting of the month at our church and will continue to be, and the reason we're gonna grow that and continue to grow prayer is because I believe if we can get more people to seek the face of God and more people to hear God and more people to live out what God requires, we get the chance to see God do more work. So it's an honor as your pastor this past Tuesday to know on two campuses, not even including all those that gather online, had nearly 1,500 people show up for our prayer meeting. Are you kidding me? It was awesome. God's doing something special in our church because there's more people seeking him in prayer. That's why we're dedicating the beginning of this year to prayer and fasting and seeking his face, to grow in intimacy with him, to hear what he might want to share with us. And if you study the life of Jesus, do you see any of these things in his ministry? I mean, because if Jesus didn't do any of these things, then we could say, well, this is just your idea, Pastor Jeff. Did Jesus pray? I mean, all you have to do is take a cursory read through the New Testament to know his whole life was consumed with prayer. From the time he was 12, when his parents found him back in Jerusalem, he's like, did you not know I had to be in my father's house? Before he performed miracles, after he performed miracles, very early in the morning while it was still dark, he went up and went to solitary places where there he prayed. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that Judas Iscariot has already turned him over, he's praying. When he's on the cross, he's praying. His whole life is so consumed with prayer. The only thing the disciples have recorded in Scripture, wanting to know how to be taught, is, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus prayed. First and foremost, his life was about prayer. The one time we see Jesus ticked off in a way that we would say, it doesn't seem like the Jesus I know in the Bible, where he got a cord of three strands and was whipping them around and driving people out of the temple. Why? Because my Father's house was to be called a house of prayer. You've turned it into a marketplace for yourselves. I want to see everybody everywhere calling the name of my dad. So he's consumed with prayer. Did he teach? Did he do any teaching during his ministry? Greatest teacher of all time. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, greatest sermon and teaching that we have recorded, ever taught. I could never be what Jesus is. Nobody could be what Jesus is. Greatest teacher of all time. Knew when to ask questions and when to make statements and always taught the word. He said he embodied the word. He lived the word. He taught the word. Did he delegate? Did he just ascend to heaven and say, hey, come to my service on Sunday? No, he commissioned disciples to go into all the world and make. Is this not his model too? Study the life of the Apostle Paul. You'll see him pray. You'll see him live and teach the word. You'll see him empower others. I mean, it's so clear in Scripture. It's a principle that God wants. If you want to have significant spiritual kingdom impact, become a prayer, live out the gospel and teach it, and then empower others to do the same. You won't be able to hold back the work of God. It'll be all over. And that's how we study God's ways for multiplication. God makes it clear, this is how I work. And there's so many churches that are asking the wrong questions. Like, how do we get more people to come? And what do we need to do to our worship? And how do we do this? And there may be some answers to all those questions. And I've been in the church for 30 plus years. I can answer a lot of those questions. But the big thing, the foundational pieces, the big rocks are start praying, start living and teaching the word, and start delegating others to pray and live the gospel and teach the word and just start multiplying that. If you just start that as a baseline, you'll see God do some amazing things. And I'm here to tell you too, if you're in business world, I mean, study some of the Christian business leaders that are doing this. Study their business and see how they're doing. Check out Hobby Lobby sometime. Some of you may have heard of that store. I know my wife has. I know they're a praying group. I know they live the word. I know they teach the word. I know that David Green walks through a store on a Saturday every single weekend that he has built in Oklahoma to see what God is saying to him about where to put everything on the shelf. And sometimes I think he's hearing, Kim's gonna like it right over there. And so he puts it right there, right? This works in every single aspect of your life. But you gotta do number four as well. And that's the final one. And if you're gonna grow spiritual leaders, you have to step with faith in God's direction. You actually have to do it. I pray before every sermon and I say, those who are willing to take the next step of faith, those who be willing to put it into practice, say amen. Will you do something with what God showed you today? Because notice what happens. So Moses listened. That means he didn't just hear him. He heard it in his heart to his father-in-law and he did all that he said. He didn't just hear it, he did it. Moses chose able men, there's that word men again, out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, of tens. They judged the people at all times. The difficult dispute they would bring to Moses, but every minor dispute they themselves would judge. Then Moses bade his father-in-law farewell and he went on his way into his own land. What happened? Well, what happened was this. He said, hey, I'll take the biggies. The ones you can't get, I'll take those, but I'm gonna be praying for you. I'm gonna be teaching you what to do. You can handle 90% of this on your own. You go for it. And you'll learn as you go. So go do this. Go make it possible, right? What happens in the church sometimes is we have what we call clergy, which would be people like me, and then we have laity, which would be people like you. I don't find it anywhere. I find the priesthood of all believers that we're all called by God and that we're all called on a mission. It's a reason in your heart. You know there's something going off today when you hear it, that I want to be part of this. I want to do something. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. I know you can do it. Because I know my God and I know how much he loves you and I know how he created you and I know how he empowered you. You can do everything that God's showing you in your heart you can do. You just have to take the next step of faith. It can just be a little one. I remember when I went to seminary, and you gotta realize, when I went to seminary, my theological background was the University of Illinois, which was not a theological stalwart of an education. So when I got to Dallas Seminary and had all these homeschoolers and Moody Bible Institute people coming in who knew all about the Bible, I didn't know anything. I felt like a novice, like treading water, like, what am I even doing here? And why do they keep talking about this nation, Israel? And I didn't know anything, right? And I would be in classes with certain teachers. I knew they were super gifted and super smart. And I always felt small, like, I'm never going to learn this. These guys are way beyond me. They know the languages better than I'm learning them. I'm not that good of a Bible scholar. What am I doing here? I felt that sometimes, but other people encouraged me. But there was one professor in particular, and I've mentioned him before. His name was Howard Hendricks. He's now gone on to glory. He's discipled many people that you would know. And I remember sitting in his class the first week I was in school, and there were about 125 of us. And he had the ability to engage every single person in the class. Even if there's one person talking, he could get him to stop. I mean, it was just incredible. And I remember I would leave his class, every single time I would leave his class, and I would think in my heart, I can do this. I'm pretty good at this. And then I remember as time went on, I got to meet him. I got to be in a small group with him. And the first time I met him in his office, here's what he said to me. He's like, Jeff, has anybody ever told you you're incredibly gifted for this kind of work? Now, I don't know if he said that to everybody, because he probably did. But at the time, I mean, I wrote that down in my journal and I drank it in. And I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. We need more people telling us that we can do it. I'm here to tell you as your pastor, you can do this. You can totally do this. And what I mean by that is, if you're starting this prayer and fasting and you've never really prayed a lot before, don't start off tomorrow saying, 6 a.m., I'm gonna get up and give an hour to the Lord. You won't be able to do it. Start really small. I'm gonna read one verse. I'm gonna pray over that verse and ask God to bless my day. I'm gonna spend 1 or 2 minutes. Now, for those of you who said, that doesn't sound like anything, ask yourself, did you spend 2 minutes today before you came to church? And what happens is if you stop worrying about time and you start worrying about the person of the Lord and you want to start spending time with him, that'll grow over time. Start really small. It's cool to start small. That's where I started. Start small. Read the Bible. Read one verse. Read two verses. Read a chapter. Just keep growing in little by little. Get around other people that are a little further along that can encourage you in that. And as you continue to grow, bring other people around you and say, hey, here's what I learned and here's what I heard and here's what God was teaching. I remember when I taught Howard Hendricks' small group, I taught on the Great Commission. And I remember he pulled out a yellow tablet the day I was teaching, like he always did, and he was taking feverish notes on what I was teaching. And I remember thinking, he studied this passage for 50-something. I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know, and he's trying to learn everything he can. Because he was what? He was humble. When God starts doing things in your heart, share it with other people. Share, here's what God's teaching me. And it may seem insignificant to you, but every time God's growing you, he's doing something special. It doesn't matter where you start, it's where he's taking you. And I would encourage you during this 21 days of prayer and fasting, just start really small. Just start really small, but start seeking the Lord more intensely. Start studying his word a little more intensely. Start looking for who can I get around and start telling about what God's doing in my prayer life? And who can I get around and start telling him about what he's teaching me in his word and how I'm living different? You can start with some that you know. You can start with some that you don't know. You can say, I don't even know if I'm getting this thing right, but I'm gonna trust the Lord in it. And as you do that, guess what God's gonna do? He's gonna grow your heart and he's gonna grow the heart of all those around you. I mean, God makes it really clear. Prioritize your family, celebrate the work with them, stay humble, welcome godly wisdom. And then as you're studying God's ways, know it's these three ways. It's prayer, it's living and teaching, and it's delegating. And then finally, it's taking that step to believe. Proverbs 3:5-6 says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, he'll make your path straight. Here's what he's saying. I got your whole future. I got it all figured out. All I'm asking you to do is with what I've showed you today, would you be willing to take a step of faith? Would you be willing just to take that one more step? Would you be willing to grow just a little more as a prayer? Would you be willing to grow a little more in your obedience and then teaching other people how you've been that way? Would you grow just a little bit more in being able to help other people to do the same and delegate it out? And as you do, little by little, step by step, God will increase that benefit for you to be able to do all that God wants you to do. I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, you can do this. He didn't leave you here inept. He gave you his Holy Spirit to walk with you every single place you go. And he's got a future and he's got a hope for you. Amen? He is the way maker. He is the miracle worker.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, examining how Moses and Jethro celebrated God's greatness in their lives together. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit bravepastorjeff.com. That's bravepastorjeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.